This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York. The IRS starts processing tax returns in the last week of January, and that means April 16th is going to be here before you know it. But for workers who fuel the gig economy, that's freelancers and the self-employed, there's an array of rules to keep in mind and traps to avoid when record-keeping throughout the year and gathering up paperwork for their annual tax return. Jenna Ivanovsky is a tax and gig economy expert with TaxAct, and she joins us here to discuss. So, Jenna, there are common mistakes that freelancers make when declaring income, and some of them come from a trap involving income on the 1099 miscellaneous form.
Generally, whenever you are self-employed and you have to pay self-employment tax, the IRS requires you to report that income if you make $400 or more. However, whenever you work for a company as a freelancer or a gig worker, the company is not required to issue a form unless they've paid you $600 or more. So as you can see, there's a gap between there.
So let's say that a person has made $440 from a company that hired them. They're required to enter that on their tax return, even though the company will not have issued them a year-end form for that particular amount of work.
Exactly. And that's where it becomes tough in order to know whether you're required to file a tax return or not, because generally for those with regular or ordinary income, such as wages as an employee, the filing requirement threshold is a lot higher depending on your filing status. So whenever you add that self-employment income into the return, it becomes a lot lower threshold.
And so freelancers sometimes, they'll have dozens of jobs during a year. And it's important for them to keep a record of the money made from each job and not just focus on the total.
Correct. So you would want to make sure that you are using some sort of tool or app or spreadsheet to keep track of all of your income throughout the year to make sure that you're encompassing that all at the total at the end of the year.
And, you know, for many of us who work full time, work-related expenses are reimbursed by our employer. But in the gig economy, expenses can be deducted from income. But the one thing you mention is that only ordinary and necessary expenses should be tallied by a freelancer. What do you mean by that?
So that is the IRS definition of a qualified business expense. It has to be ordinary and necessary. So ordinary means that it is ordinary to your profession. And necessary means that it's something that you needed to purchase in order to do your job.
So if you're a painter, you have to drive to people's houses to paint the house or a wall for them. Ordinary would be mileage to get to their house.
Right. That's necessary to get to the job.
Okay.
Ordinary would mean that as a painter, you would need to drive. It's normal for that profession for you to need to drive to your client or your job site.
And things like office supplies and advertising fall into that category as well.
There are many business deductions that a freelancer or gig worker can claim. And a lot of the times, the confusion arises from knowing what you can and cannot deduct. I feel that many self-employed workers are nervous or scared of being audited by the IRS. And so they may pass up on taking certain deductions just so that they don't have to worry about providing sufficient documentation. Mileage is a good example of that. In recent years, the IRS has been cracking down on the information required for claiming the standard mileage rate. It used to be that you could simply just keep a log of each business-related trip that you're taking. But now, I've heard of instances where the IRS also wants an odometer reading from, let's say you go get your oil changed at the dealership and you go in March and September. They want odometer readings from each of those oil changes to back up that the amount of mileage that you're claiming is appropriate.
Wow. That's, I guess, nickel and diming is the way to say that.
Right. And it, you know, with the apps and technology out there nowadays, I feel a lot of the mileage tracking apps use GPS tracking to log each trip. And some of them are even like Tender, where at the end of the trip, you can swipe left or swipe right, depending on whether it's business or personal related trip.
Oh, interesting. So in a lot of cases, freelancers don't realize that they should make quarterly estimated tax payments.
Whenever you become self-employed, a lot of people transition out of corporate America by starting a side hustle before they become a full-time freelancer. And initially, when you still have W-2 wages coming in, you can maybe simply just increase your withholding to compensate for the additional taxes that you'll have from your side hustle. But whenever you start doing it full time, then it becomes a matter of, okay, first of all, do I need to pay quarterly estimated tax payments? And how do I go about doing that? How do I calculate it? How do I actually make the payments? So first thing you want to do is calculate all the income you've earned for each quarter, and then subtract out your applicable business expenses. If you have a net income over $400, then you would want to calculate your regular income tax, and you also are responsible for paying self-employment tax. So the general rule of thumb, the easiest way to, I guess, explain how to calculate what you will owe is by taking that net income amount and annualizing it, or figuring out, okay, based on January through March, I made $2,000. If I expect to make the same amount of income throughout the year evenly, then it's just a matter of multiplying that by four. And then you would calculate the taxes on that amount. And to figure the quarterly estimated payment, then of course you would divide by four.
And it kind of makes for less surprises later on in the year.
Right. Because if you do not pay enough in at the end of the year, then there could be underpayment penalties involved.
We're speaking with TaxAct's Jenna Ivanovsky, and you're listening to Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal. Welcome back, everybody. So, Jenna, there are a few more traps here that freelancers need to be aware of. Among them, credit card statements are not receipts.
Credit card statements are not sufficient enough document if you were to be audited by the IRS. You need the receipt from the transaction to show what was actually purchased, the details of that, so that the IRS can confirm whether or not the purchase was actually business related. And so a lot of credit banks or credit card companies will provide you a year-end statement that categorizes all of your transactions for you, which is really nice to have, kind of to get a high level idea of what all you spent your money on throughout the year. But just know that they're basing the categories on algorithms, and they're not always put into the right category. For example, if you were to go to Target, what category would that go under? Obviously, it depends on what you purchased. You could be buying office supplies, or you could be buying dog food.
Mm-hmm. So you have to be really diligent about how you're going to categorize that and ultimately report it to the IRS.
Yes, you definitely need to make sure that you are keeping your receipts along with memos as to what the purchase related to.
And then also, bartering services are taxable income.
So let's say, for example, I were a photographer and I did a wedding shoot for a friend of mine. And in exchange, she is a massage therapist. And for the next 6 months, I got a free massage for, you know, once a month. That was our agreement. But each of us would need to still report income on our returns for the fair value of those services.
Okay. So there is value to it, even though there was no cash that went back and forth.
Correct. And you would figure the value of the services based on what you would normally charge for doing the wedding photography for a similar service to a paying customer.
That's TaxAct tax and gig economy expert Jenna Ivanovsky joining us here in our studio. Jenna, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Your Money Matters. Do you like this podcast? Then rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.
The Future of Everything podcast from The Wall Street Journal. Another new episode is coming soon.